Is there a doctor in the house?
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I fucking give a shit. I mean, pretty much. Not all the time, but when I can. Anyway, thanks for joining me. I'm very excited to be here today on Radio Free Brooklyn on the Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit show. It's a shit show, isn't it? So anyway, I'm just really excited because it's actually the day after my 60th birthday, which is so crazy. Because it's freaking me out to even say that, frankly. But anyway, so I'm gonna try and keep my shit together. But I had like a really really great time last night. So and it wasn't a big like major blowout. It was just a very socially satisfying evening, something I was desperate for that I didn't even realize how much I needed it. So I'm in a good but foggy mood. So there's something I do really want you to know about, though. Let's see if I can boil this down to make it legible, because I don't, you know, Tom, are you listening? You guys leave this sheet of paper, and I don't even know what I'm supposed to, the type is too big, okay, because the sentences are all broken up. It's really bad typography. But I want to tell you about, this is what I want to tell you about. The Bayou and Brooklyn Music Festival, which kicks off on this Friday, May 13th at 8 p.m. and continues until this Sunday, May 15th at 10 p.m. at the fabulous Jalopy Music Theater in Red Hook, Brooklyn. Red Hook is like the coolest area in Brooklyn because you can't get there. And it's slow to gentrify if you haven't been out there. So it's going to be Cajun Zydeco Dance Hall Bands, Jambalaya Supper, Jamming and Dancing are just a few of the great things that are in store for you. And then I'm going to tell you who the lineup is, because if you know anything about this, they are fucking rocking. Okay. Courtney Granger, Blake Miller, Jesse Ledge and the Bayou Brew, C'est Bon, Zydeco Revelators, Black Rock Zydeco, and The Saints. So get your tickets at jalopy.biz. Also, you should go to our new website because they just redid the Radio Free Brooklyn website, and it's freaking awesome. Fucking awesome. I can say that on the air. So I'm very excited about my guest today, who I'm going to tell you about a little bit before I actually verbally introduce him. First of all, he's really cute. He's so cute. Okay, so that's something you should know. And as somebody that I met, I actually saw him doing comedy probably close to a year ago now, and he really stood out, and then I got a chance to, like, re-meet him recently and invite him on the show, and I was really excited that he said yes, because he's got this great vibe, and he's really funny. But the truth is that, so here's what I'm nervous about. I'm going to put this right out here right now because this is how I'm feeling. So I really like this person. I have respect for him already because I know he's really smart, right? And he's also, I can tell, got some kind of weird, complex background. And I don't really quite know what that is because I don't really know hardly anything about him for real. And besides the 10 minutes we chatted before I'm talking to you, so, and I'm also like a little foggy from the party because I enjoyed myself. So I'm under a little bit, I'm going to just put this out there that there's a little counter transference, maybe a little bit of intimidation on my part because I'm not quite, you know, so I just want to put that out there. This is going to be a great show and let's just see if we can like dissect this person's mind. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Lisa.
Okay, well, first of all, we got to turn your mic up.
All right.
Yeah, Andrew Ritchie. So get a little closer to the mic. How's that sound?
Great. I'll do whatever you say.
You will?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So, yeah, take off your clothes. That was such a, like, lead. That was like a total leading in line. Let's see how you sound now. Get just a tiny bit closer. Just a tiny bit closer.
If I took off my clothes right now, what are we going to do at the end of the show? Like, we have to build it.
Yeah, how are we going to, like, yeah, I know. Have you ever had sex with a 60-year-old woman?
Not yet.
No? It's not that great.
Aren't you married?
Yeah. That's why I can joke about it. You know, the funny thing is, if I was like, how old are you?
I can't believe I had to think about that. I'm 31.
Yeah, so if I was closer to your age, I'd be really intimidated. There's no way I'd be able to flirt with you if I was your age. No way. No way. I'd be like, he's too cool. He's going to, like, he doesn't want to talk to me. That's what I'd be thinking. But now that I can be your grandma, I'm fine with it. Which is really liberating and a great thing about getting older, ladies.
I'm already so kind of embarrassed, right? I'm so embarrassed right
You
now.
Are?
I'm
really?
So yeah.
I embarrassed you already? You're a comedian. How could you be embarrassed?
If I was a white person, I would be red in the face.
Why are you embarrassed?
Well, I like being appreciated for what I'm talking about, not for, like...
You don't like that I objectified you. Are you angry? Are you feeling angry? Because that's cool.
No,
you should
really
tell. Yeah, I bet you are a little angry.
I'm not angry.
No?
Okay, you said you were foggy. I'm at least as foggy as you are.
No, you're not.
We're fogging it up. Yeah,
we're fogging it up. Well, we're going to, like, we're. But you know what? See, that's what I like because it makes it a little harder, but we're going to get there. So anyway, This is what I found out to introduce you. Besides the fact that you are, like, a really original and talented comedian that performs regularly, and you've been doing it for how long? A couple years. And your career is moving forward. We established that. Not as fast as you would like, just like everybody else, because that's the way life goes. But I think things are good. I got a good vibe about you. You know, things are good. You're going to, yeah. Yeah, you just don't forget about me. You know, this recording here is going to be, you know, going to be a big hit in like another 5 years when you have your own Comedy Central show, like some of the other people like that I've already spent time with.
I'm a really loyal friend.
Oh, good. Okay, great. And I already invited you to the Radio Free Brooklyn party on Saturday, so we're all set. So you're also you make a living as a coder, right? Is that right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Why do you say unfortunately? That's a really great skill. I wish I had that skill.
It's kind of a cool skill. It's cool when you're learning it, and then once it becomes your job, you just do the same things over and over again.
So it's really boring?
Yeah, it's really boring.
But it is like you can always make money, right?
Yeah, no, that's
That's like the best part.
That is the best part. It's a really great day job to have if you're doing something else.
Right. And how much do you make an hour? You don't have to answer it, but I'm asking.
Do
what?
I have to answer that?
No. I just asked, but you don't have to answer it. Just say you don't want to if you don't want to.
I guess I would answer it. Should I just answer it?
It's up to you, really.
I
Go ahead.
$110 an hour.
$110 fucking dollars an hour? $110. I am getting a divorce and trying to marry you. That's crazy.
I don't work that much, though. That's the thing.
Well, who would?
I just wait around for people to pay me a lot, so.
Oh, wow. So you're really like, that's, well, you know what? You know what impresses me about that? That, you know, I think, like, comedians and artists, not just comedians, but a lot of comedians and artists and young people starting out in their creative careers don't understand how important it is to have a job and make money so that you can have enough stability to feed your child, which is your art.
Well, I tried the broke route. Like, I was broke for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't get
to do comedy. You were broke, you mean?
No, I wasn't
just broke because you didn't have any job.
Well, I was writing fiction.
Ah.
So that's how I got into comedy. I was writing fiction first. But I just didn't feel, I felt so unstable not making any money,
uh-huh.
that I didn't get any work done, so I had to find a job that would pay for what I was doing, and then I felt comfortable like working.
Smart. See, you're a great example. See, I'm so glad you're here, because this is what I try to do. I try to show how you have to do your shit together in order to be a creative person, a successful creative person.
I'm trying.
No, you're doing great, and I love how self-effacing you are. That's a really charming quality. See, that's what it is that, you know, that's what girls like.
I'm doing great until I fall into this microphone because I'm so tired.
No. What happened last night?
You didn't
come to my party. You probably didn't even know about it, but
I
didn't fucking invite you. What a mistake that was. Okay, so how come you're tired today?
I had a fight with my girlfriend and I went out drinking with one of my best friends to party away the fight.
Aw. And how, and, And so are you telling me that you were trying to push your emotions down through drinking? I hope not.
I do that.
You do?
A lot.
Do you? Yeah. Do you drink a lot?
I drink too much.
You do? How much drinking is drinking too much?
Probably two or three nights a week. I just, like, stay out past 2 a.m. and just drink through the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're 31. Yeah. Well, you know, you know what? I'm going to start an AA meeting.
Really?
No, no.
You said you had a party with pot cookies. You can't start an AA meeting.
Oh, no, no. You know what? You're 31 and that's okay. I'm not here to judge, and I certainly am. I'm not a real doctor. We all know this. I have no real credentials. But if you have a serious drug or alcohol problem, you really need to get help. That's all I can say, and this is not it. Although we can certainly talk about it.
At what point is it serious?
That's a way more complicated question. Are you really worried that it might be serious? I mean, do you want to talk about that? Like, you go out and you get, like, binge drink three times a week. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I do that three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're also saying that you had, like, a fight with your girlfriend and you don't want to deal with that, right? So
yeah.
You went out. When you went out with your friend, and you have a drinking buddy too, right?
I have a few.
See, that's part of that whole alcoholic thing because you need to have people that you drink with regularly who do the same thing. Those are your enabler people, right?
Yeah.
You got those.
Yeah,
you got it all set up. You got your enablers.
Got them.
You got plenty of money to drink.
They're good people, though.
No. And you know what? Alcoholics are the best. People with drug problems are great. Drug and alcohol people are the best. I mean, we're not – there's no judging here. There is no judging. We're just exploring whether you don't want to be drinking as much as you are. That's all.
I've been successful at cutting back lately.
Okay.
Not cutting back as much as I should, but cutting back to like a reasonable point.
Cutting back. So, you know, all this stuff could really be serious. I don't know. But also, the thing I want to know is when you went out with your friend and you were upset about your girlfriend, did you talk about the girlfriend thing or did you try to shove that back so that you could forget about it?
I definitely talked about the girlfriend thing for a while.
So you wanted to work that out. So yeah. It was on your mind. You weren't just completely drinking to get it over with.
Yeah, no, I didn't put it out of my mind.
So does drinking interfere with your relationship with her?
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does she drink and do drugs or whatever? Is she part of the party with you?
She used to be. She quit a few months ago.
Not
quit entirely, but quit being like the party.
And how has that affected your relationship?
I don't know. There's just been so much stuff, other stuff that's happened in the last few months that
it's just one more thing. So your life is a little tumultuous right now?
It's really tumultuous.
Oh, really?
Tumultuous? How do I say that?
Tumultuous.
So
what's going on? Really?
There's like a handful of words that I just can't say right now.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. That's fine. But you know what? There is one thing that I want to put out there that I sensed about you that we talked about before you were on that I find really interesting. And I want to get into what's going on in your life, but I just want people to have the same frame of reference that I think affected me with something you said, which was like, if I look at you, like the way you present in person is a fairly sophisticated, you know, good looking, well, you know, sharply, you know, you look pretty sharp.
I'm trying really hard.
Yeah. And you are trying really hard and you got like the dreads or whatever. Are you African? Are you purebred or half and half?
Purebred. I haven't heard that one. That's a new one. Oh,
are you purebred African American or half and half?
No, I'm like the biggest mutt. I have like different people of different half races on both sides. It's really
so you were made by like a whole bunch of people, all mammals though, right?
No, I'm the future of humanity.
Okay.
When everyone just starts having sex with everyone and everyone,
that's
color
great.
Comes towards the middle.
Great.
That's kind of great.
And you only date Jewish women. That's what you were saying, right?
Did I say that?
No, I'm kidding you. Where's the comedy here? I thought you know. Okay.
But that was really insightful. It just caught me off guard.
Really?
I've seen a lot of Jewish women, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See? That's why I liked you. That's why we get along. I could see you with a Jew.
I love the Jews.
You're isn't that funny? He likes the Jews.
Because
you're a writer. You're verbal.
I wrote the first third of a novel about how it's not really me. It's a projection of me, but mm-hmm. I wrote a good chunk of a novel about how I wish I was Jewish. It's just sort of like
really?
Jew envy. It's oh, all
wow.
about like, it's about like sneaking into synagogue and just.
Well,
like,
you know, you should come. I actually have a bar mitzvah. I'm hosting the trivia. I got a gig at a bar mitzvah. I'm hosting a trivia contest on Sunday. I'm very proud
God,
of that. Yeah, I'm getting paid to do that. Yeah, well, you know, you can come and dance with the 13-year-old girls.
I shouldn't do that.
I used to do that. You went to Jewish preschool?
I went to Jewish preschool in Chicago, Akiva Schechter in Hyde Park.
Oh, okay. So anyway, what the point I was trying to make that my observation of you, very superficial, but I thought that you seem like, you know, you seem like an educated, sophisticated, and educated being the key, you know, from like a middle class, upper middle class background, but you actually said you were from a poor family. Is that right?
Kind of. It's weird. Like my grandparents are middle class to upper middle class, and then my parents are just total fuck ups.
What did your parents?
Oh my God!
No one's listening to this. Believe you me.
My mom is really good about the Google alerts.
Oh, she's. I don't know. Maybe
is this on Google.
I don't know. You know. But don't worry, because when that interview comes out in Entertainment Weekly, it's all going to be blown anyway.
And my parents know their fuck ups. It's just they should.
So, what did your grandparents do?
On my dad's side, one was a teacher and one was a social worker, which doesn't sound like a lot.
No.
But my grandmother just like really like killed it with the teachers union. And when she retired, she got something like, she never took a sick day. So she got something like $150,000.
Your grandmother.
My dad's side. She got
so your grandmother was like a real,
badass.
Your grandmother was really had her shit together, and she was pretty strong and maybe disciplined and maybe critical.
Super disciplined, really hated me until I was not hated me, loved me, then hated me for about 4 to 7 years.
You live with your grandparents, right? You grew up with your grandparents on your mother's side. That's what we're talking about.
My dad's side, she's the badass. I spent a lot of time at her place too.
So did your grandparents are a big influence on you. And why do you think your parents are fuck-ups?
Do I have to vocalize this now, huh? Because I said it. It's my fault. I put this
burden
on myself.
No, but I mean, see how you're blaming yourself? That's so interesting. There's a lot of self-criticism going on there. No, I asked you. You just put it out there. I asked you. It's not like you brought it on yourself. It's just out there. Say no.
Well, wait.
Say no fucking way I'm talking about that.
No, I'm going to talk about that.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm going to talk about stuff. I'm not going to not talk about
stuff. Okay, see, I got counter-transference defensive there, so go ahead.
No, like when I – well, one way – one good thing about – one thing I use making fun of myself or getting defensive or pushing off for is to think about what I want to say. It's like, oh, I don't want to say. Oh, what do I do?
Buying time.
Meta shit, really telling you exactly what I'm doing. I don't know. My dad just has a lot of kids, and he doesn't have a lot of money, and he just, like, that's not a good combination.
How many kids? Never a good combination. A lot of kids in anything is never a good combination as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't have any kids. It's so weird to me that they're people.
Well, how many kids does your dad have? You really don't know?
I don't. And it's like 6 or 7, including me. I can't even. I have to count.
But what about the women? How many women do you like? Could you make a chart if you
want? Just two women. Just my mom and my stepmom. So it's like just two women, but a lot of kids.
You don't even want to think about how many kids he has. That's what I'm getting.
Well, they're my siblings. So I should be this. So
no, but it's freaky.
He converted to Catholicism. That's fucked up. He was a black man blessed with an atheist, agnostic mother, parent, like parents that were not religious, which on my other side, I did not have that advantage. It's like there's so much weird religious like hatred and weird shit in black families, typically like hating the gays. And like I spent my 23rd birthday. I worked for Obama for America in 2008, and I spent my 24th, I don't remember which one, but I spent my birthday working at a black church in Indiana, and it's like this really poor neighborhood, and the preacher just stood up there and said that the reason that no one has jobs in their neighborhood is the gays. And it's just like, what is, like, are
you, wow.
Like, the gays, what gay? I mean, they're surely gays. They're gay people everywhere, but it's not like they're just a phalanx of gay people came in and just took all the jobs or, like, eliminated the jobs.
That sounds like, yeah, that's, like, definitely where that – That's horrible. That's all.
It's horrible. And a lot of
that's
black
just crazy.
People grow up with that.
I'm sure. A lot of Jews grow up with that. Come on. So
I guess a lot of
my mother used
people.
To wear, yeah, my...
Well,
my,
I only think about black people because I'm black.
Yeah, well, my aunt used to use, I mean, I don't even want to talk about, I mean, we used to, I used to call up the people that used to work with her home health aides and apologize all the time. We
what
love
you,
our family.
For?
Because my, I'm just going to say this, but my aunt, use the word schwarze.
Schwarze? What does that
schwarze.
Mean? Schwarze.
Regularly.
What does that mean?
It's the Jewish slang. It's like saying the N-word.
Oh.
It's horrible.
Cool.
Like, I don't even feel
you're
good about
it.
I feel like
it,
I wish I hadn't even said it. It's so ugly. That's how I, but you
really
forgive
ugly,
me, right? You forgive me. I feel bad even about saying that word.
Yeah, it's terrible, but people should just say it, because if you put it on a pedestal, then people just want to say it, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? It's better to say it than just, like, I don't, I mean, I'm not like that, so I'm not, you know how I know I'm not racist? This is how I know I'm not racist,
you're
because.
Probably at least a little racist.
Well, I mean, as anybody, I'm not
you're
very.
You're not a real racist.
I'm not great at it, because I know what my best friend at one point had a black boyfriend, and we all went to a party together out in the middle of nowhere, and I said, oh, that must be where the party is because there's a white guy standing outside. And I said that, and I forgot that he was black. Like, I totally, like, forgot how racist I sounded.
I don't get that joke.
Because when you're in, like, a all-black ghetto neighborhood, which is another stereotype, and you see one white hipster, that's your friend. That's the party.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I feel that way, too, though, because
I'm sure you do.
I grew up in a black neighborhood, and the last time I was back in the neighborhood I grew up in, one of my, like, Little League teammates, I was, like, walking to the train in Chicago, and one of my Little League teammates pulled up in a Cadillac and pulled me in the car. I was like, don't you fucking walk around here?
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's like, Doug's just like, be careful, dude. Like,
so,
don't fucking walk around this neighborhood. Who the fuck do you think you're? You can't walk around here. You don't belong here. It's like, it's where I grew up.
That's so funny. So here, that is really funny. God, that's so funny. That's like, yeah, it's everywhere. But so I want to understand this about you. So you say your parents are losers. I'm a little bit suspicious
losers,
of that or whatever.
People.
But let
they're
me
really
just.
Good. They're really nice people.
But how did you up. Wind up being such a, like, educated, sophisticated guy coming? Like, explain your background a little bit.
I don't even know how I answer that. Like, how
did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to
where,
college.
Where?
I went to two colleges. I don't usually tell people about the first one because I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this really white liberal arts school in Wisconsin because it was the only school I could get into because I fucked up high school so badly.
Mm.
But I still had high test scores and I was black,
mm-hmm.
and this, like, really
yeah.
white school is like, can we get a black kid?
Oh, great.
And then I got there and I was like, this sucks. It's just a school full of, like, farm kids from Wisconsin. But it was a good school. It was a good school, but it was,
mm-hmm.
like, not the vibe for me.
Oh, so that's, uh-huh. And then where did you go to school after that? You transferred?
I went to Reed College in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's
so
a
was that a big
school.
Influence on your life?
Yeah, Reed.
Moving there, did that, like, change you? Like, is that how you became a sophisticated guy in Bushwick?
It's how I became sophisticated. It's the best thing I ever did, and it's also how I started having a drug problem.
A drug problem?
Yeah.
Do you really have a drug problem?
I don't know if I have a drug problem.
What kind of drugs?
All of them. No, not heroin. I've never done heroin.
But, like, do you take opiates?
Opiates? Not really.
Do you have a drug problem where you take drugs, like, every day, and if you don't take them, you feel bad?
Oh, no, not every day.
Oh, that's not a drug problem.
All right, great.
It's a drug. I'm going to enable you.
Great. Enable me. But Reed was great. It was amazing. It, like, taught me to think and just be the person who I am.
Yeah.
It's a great book.
Yeah, you're obviously, you know, educated and articulate and stuff like that. So let's find out why your parents, why you are critical of your parents. What is that about? What are your parents like? Describe them. It's okay to be critical. I just want to understand.
Well, I mean, my dad really deserves it because he wasn't in my life most of the time. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can criticize my dad all I want. But my mom is the one I feel bad about criticizing, because my mom is just a lovely person who's like really nice and who probably sacrificed what could be like a good career and like an entirely different life to raise me, and I'm still bitter and I'm in mean about it. So I'm the asshole.
You feel bad about how you treat your mom?
I totally feel bad.
Wow. Does she know that?
Does
she know that you feel bad about it? She probably knows you treat her badly.
She probably doesn't know that I feel bad about it. I don't know if I've ever actually said that out loud before. I'm really opening up right now.
I'm glad you feel safe.
I want to get on board.
That's wonderful. So,
you're giving me to say all kinds of things that I would never, that I wouldn't say.
Oh, wow, that's great. This is like a really, this is really good recommendation for my show. I like this.
The show rules.
Show rules. Oh, wow, this is great. And this is exactly what I need, ego reinforcement. That's my problem.
Prop me up.
That's all.
It is great that I get to talk about this, because I actually don't, it is on my mind.
Okay, good. Actually, maybe we'll get you in therapy after this.
I
could start doing it and charging. I never do, but I could.
You should do
it. I never charge. I do therapy a lot, but I don't charge because I don't have a degree, and it's for fun.
Please don't charge me to be here. I didn't go to work to come here.
No. This is your favor to me. This is like you're doing me the favor.
No, this isn't a favor. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we're enjoying this. So I want to understand, what you're critical about your mom about.
It's totally unfair criticism.
Now, we don't care. We're not judging. What is it?
I just want to be honest that I know it's unfair.
Okay.
I'm critical about my mom for not preparing me to be an adult. How about that?
And what does that mean? Did she baby you?
She didn't baby me exactly. Yeah, she did. She babied me, and she didn't like. She didn't like ask me to like work hard or like do anything.
She wasn't demanding.
She wasn't demanding at all.
Which is why your dad initially probably liked her.
I don't know.
You know,
I don't
want to
speculate about that.
No, but that's really a problem for a lot of women, particularly. It's really like you got to be demanding. You got to like fucking call guys on their shit. You got to call everybody on their shit.
I wish my girlfriend was more demanding.
But see, you're probably repeating. See, that's what I'm wondering about your intimacy issues, because I'm sure you got them. You've got like, you're a really complicated guy. You've got intimacy issues.
Do I have intimacy issues?
Oh, yeah. There's no way you don't.
I
don't know. We could talk about the fight you had. We got to focus here. We've got, look, here's what we come up with. We got to either talk about the argument you had with your girlfriend.
Okay.
We got to get into like what your parents were really like and how you feel guilty about your mom. How many kids you grew up with and your relationship with your dad, or like how all that stuff, like your grandparents, this is what I'm hearing. Your grandparents are like this kind of gold standard of humanity.
They're people.
I'm exaggerating.
But we're
not
talking about the girlfriend thing, but we have to talk about the other things.
The girlfriend. What do you think? Can you say what you think your problems with your girlfriend are? Can you say that?
I said that's the thing we're not going to talk about.
All right. Okay.
I do wish she was more demanding of me, though.
Yeah, because your mother wasn't. So, but see, this is the thing. If your mother wasn't demanding, it's not unlikely you would wind up with a girlfriend that's not demanding.
Yeah.
But you need to take responsibility for not waiting for her to be demanding, because that's just repeating your old pattern and there's no growth and it's not going to help you.
Okay.
So you got to look at her and say, like, if she was demanding, this is what I should do.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Wait,
I think that would help.
If she was demanding this. Wait, what?
So, like.
What?
So say, like, your girlfriend, you know. It's Saturday night, and she.
Do you want me to tell you what Saturday is?
Okay.
Do you want me to? Or do you want the hypothetical? You could do the hypothetical, and I could tell you if it's right.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, like let's say she needs help. She's moving, and she didn't ask you to help her. You're supposed to go, like, I need to help you. Do you see what I'm saying? I need to help you move. Just because she didn't ask means. So what do you think was screwed up about your mother?
Wait, what do I think was what about
my screwed up or what is the
my mom's not screwed up. She just didn't do a lot.
Like, what do you mean? What would her career have been?
I don't know. She dropped out of college to raise me.
Do you think your mom was intelligent?
Yeah, my mom's super smart.
So what do you think her life would... Because what you said was that she gave... Like, in a certain way, she gave up her life to be your mom.
Well, she had other stuff going on, too, so I'm not...
Like what?
Well, she was... I don't know. She was adopted, and she had a complex about that. She has a complex about it. And she has a weird... Well, she's a black woman in America. That's rough.
In Chicago,
yeah. Which is a shitty racist place.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that's like out of my mom's control. Oh no. Okay. So here's one thing I'm bitter with my mom about.
Okay.
She has a tendency to blame racism and like big systematic things for her not succeeding as much as she'd like.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
she's not wrong, but you can't
live like that.
You can't live like that because it's self-defeating. Like, I used to live like that, and I had to stop, and I just had to be like, no. Like, there's racism out there. It's just something I'm going to deal with. So I had a conversation with, I don't want this to sound too cool because it's going to sound...
Celebrity? Are you going to name drop?
Because I had a conversation with Wyatt Cenac. Because I hang out with Wyatt Cenac, but because he bartends after his... He has a weekly show, and he bartends at Pork Slope after it. So anyone can just bug the shit out of him, which is what I did. And I made a crack to him, which I was hoping he would think was funny, and he did not. He took it super dead seriously. I was like, you're like the only black person that Marc Maron has interviewed that's not the president of the United States. Because Marc Maron doesn't interview black dudes.
He doesn't. That's interesting.
Not Asian people, not Hispanic. He only interviews, like, white people. Generally white dudes.
Yeah, and he's got, like, a weird vibe. But I'm a huge fan just because I love hearing about the creative process and comedy and stuff like that. So I'm an addict. I'm a Marc Maron addict, but...
I love his interviews.
I was talking about this last night, actually, with Ben Kronberg.
Oh, what'd you say?
I said that I think, like, since... you know, post-Obama, he's, like, it's just not that good. It's not as good because he bought his own shit. He bought his own shit.
He brings it up all the time.
Yeah, I know. And he knows that he knows he's like that. But
but he still does. It doesn't. Knowing that you're like that doesn't make it okay.
So you think your mom was not such a great example in that, like, I mean, and I have felt that way, you know, like working in the corporate world as a woman, I have bounced. I mean, it's normal because you think like, well, I'm not doing that well. And then you think, well, I've got an obstacle. And then you think, well, I can't let that get in my way because I have an obstacle. So, I mean, some of that's for very legitimate, but.
And she has a complex about not having a college degree.
Well, yeah. I mean, my mom didn't either, although she was alone. So here's the thing. I'm thinking that you kind of wished your mom was a little tougher.
Yeah, I wish that.
You wish you had a more kick-ass mom.
Yeah, I wish she'd like made me do my homework a little bit, you know.
Do you feel like that you were in charge too much as a kid?
Yeah, I was super in charge. Yeah, I was way too in charge.
And so was it just you and her growing up?
Well, it was me, her, and my grandparents.
Right. But so she was in charge of you.
And eventually a stepdad. Mm-hmm. Who sucked.
Was he really dominating?
Dominant. He was just kind of distant and weird. And an alcoholic.
And an angry guy.
Super angry. He once threw a bucket of bleach around a room and just, like, trashed it.
So here's what I'm thinking.
He hit me a couple times.
And he hit you? Yeah. That's fucked up. That's really wrong. And what would your mom do? Nothing?
Oh, and my dad hit my mom, too. My mom.
That's fucked up too.
It's fucked up, right? Like it's like who? Like why do people hit anyone? Right? Like I don't want to hit anyone, and I definitely don't want to hit the person I'm in a relationship with.
Yeah, right. The person who's not like trying to knock you over and take your wallet.
Yeah, I don't even want. I got mugged once, and I don't even want to hit that guy, even though that guy sucks, and I hope he gets hit by a bus.
So you've watched your mom get treated poorly by a bunch of authority figures. And I think your mom, I think your mom might have been really criticized by her mom. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Super criticized.
So that's really where her self-esteem got, like, thrown under the bus. Her own family, I think, right?
Yeah, no, that's accurate.
And so you were brought up by a woman that beyond...
Didn't have a lot of self-esteem.
Did not have a lot of self-esteem. And so she actually probably thought you were in charge more than she was because she had such a self-esteem issue.
You just totally pegged it.
And the thing is about your mom is, like, she's smart, probably has like, all the makings of, like, she could have been a contender, but she got fucked over by your grandmother.
But you know what? She's still working at it, actually. She went back to school. She's doing all this new stuff. I'm really proud of her.
That's good. So, you know, maybe I'm thinking now's a good time to change your relationship with your mom. What do you think about it? Like, does she know you're proud of her? Well,
probably.
No, because you didn't say yes. Oh, yes, she does.
No, she probably doesn't.
She probably does.
Tell her that.
You should totally tell her that. And does she know that you feel bad about how you've treated her sometimes?
She probably... No, I said she doesn't know that.
Yeah. Well, isn't that crazy? You're
her
31
I'll
years old.
I'll tell her these things right after. I'll tell her these things.
You're 31 years old. It's time to grow up.
It's hard to grow up with your parents. It's like I grow up around... I feel grown up around everyone but my parents. You know?
Right. But see, the thing is that you can... How old is your mom? She's like my age, maybe.
Not
younger.
Even. She's really young. She had me when she was like 19.
Yeah, so she's like 50, but, right?
Yeah, she's like 50, yeah.
So your mom has like a few good years left, right?
She does. She's working it.
And her self-esteem, like you could help her self-esteem. You could help her self-esteem as well. You should, because I think you're successful. Does she know how much money you make?
Yeah, she does.
Okay, so you're a successful, productive guy, except for the drug and alcohol problem. But we're going to fix that. You know, it's not over yet. So,
it's not over.
No, it's not over yet.
I'm going to go, like, cheer my mom on and, like, just not do any drugs.
But I also think that you want to have a lot of respect for women.
I do.
And I think that... With an example like that, no matter what, that's going to be an obstacle. I mean, not that you aren't respectful to women.
No, I have a ton of respect for women. No, I'm super. No, I.
Or maybe you overcompensate. I don't know.
Maybe, but I think the world sucks so much and is like stacked the deck against people that aren't in power so much that I'm just like rah rah women, rah rah. Ethnic minorities, rah-rah third world countries, rah-rah gays, rah. I just hate the establishment a lot. So I'm just like reflexively, you know, if you're not the asshole that's in power fucking things up, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that's such a posture.
I think, you know, no matter what, I do think that it would help you, it would help somehow untangle some of whatever happens in your life if you... I mean, because the thing is, the relationship with your mom could really be improved so simply. You know what I mean? You could totally change that dynamic, I think, right?
Just me being more positive.
Yeah, and I think, like if you're more positive to other people, you're going to get more positive feedback back, and then, like, it's going to be great for you. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to start really, like, respecting you in a way that is going to make you feel – that's going to be great for you, because she'll be like – Look at my son. He knows how to take care of me in a way that I didn't even know I needed. And he's like, you know, it's just like, that would be huge. You would be so proud.
It's so, all right, I'll try it. It's like hard for me to imagine my mom like being more proud of me. I mean, I just say that because that's like a fact. And like, I'm almost like bitter about it because like, don't you want to ask anything of me? Like, it's like, you could, when I finished college and I finished like my thesis, like you had to do, I had to do a thesis at Reed, and she like said this whole thing about
Jesus.
How she was proud that I got picked for this weird audience participation thing at like Disney World, and I'm just like, can you just be like proud of the fact that I worked really hard and I like finished school and I like did all this work? Why are you proud of like me like getting picked out of a crowd for something?
So it's almost like her approval is so ubiquitous that you don't feel like you earned it.
Yeah, I don't feel like I earned it. Yeah.
Well, maybe, you know, I get it. But you know what? Like, I think you could help her. You could help her be seen. She's not being seen, I think. You know what I mean?
I should help. I want to help.
Well, it would be good for everybody. I mean, it's always good to put out the most positive shit you can put out there in any way you can. Just do it. That's what I think. So we only have 20 minutes.
We only have 20 minutes?
I know. Isn't this go fast? So
my
mom's
selfish, though. I will say that.
You are selfish?
My mom's selfish.
Selfish in what way?
She doesn't actually ask about anything. She just, like, you get her on the phone and she just talks about herself.
Because she's a little bit in her own world.
What?
She's a little bit in her own world.
She's totally in her. She's a lot in her own world.
Yeah, she has to be. Does she have a drug or alcohol problem?
Oh, no. She's like, she doesn't even drink anymore because she has, like, liver problems.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have drug or alcohol problems in your genetics?
I guess my mom's brother does. My uncle. I don't know. I have uncle and aunts on each side.
Yeah. Could be working against you. Could be like more than just, it could, you know, like a lot of times people think, oh, you know, you just had a fucked up life and you have a drug and alcohol problem, but it could be genetics, a lot of genetics, you know, working against you too. But we're not going to solve that. So you said
we're going to solve that. You changed your mind.
We're not going to solve. Well, I don't know. I'll get you. Well, we can if you want. We'll get you right. You know, We'll get you right into rehab after this.
Oh God, no! I don't.
Tom, call the medics. We got to get this guy into rehab now.
I'm going to quit doing drugs and alcohol. I'm going to do it on my own. Am I going to fucking rehab? Fuck that.
See, this is what I'm saying. Well, I mean, that's just so complicated why you're doing them, even what you're doing, how much you're doing, what you feel like before you're doing it. We'll come back and we'll just focus on that. Come back, we'll just talk about how to solve your drug and alcohol problem. But we need to get more back. Well, this is an intake session, honey. When you say there's turmoil going on in your life, I want to know what that is.
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like, I mean, the relationship turmoil I touched on, I feel like starting out in comedy is inherently turmoil. Like, that's turmoil. Like, I work as a freelancer. That's unstable. It's like, I just have, like, all kinds of, like, instability and stress and, like, stuff to manage all over the place.
It's interesting. I think it's really cool that you like stability.
I don't like stability.
Well, you miss it. It sounds like you had stability growing. Did you have stability growing up with your mom?
How do we define stability?
Like, did you have dinner every night? Did you have food on the table?
No. Well, we had food on the table, but it's not like, a lot of times it was like fast food. I changed schools a lot. We moved. I wasn't like in poverty. I could rely on, I could rely on food being there, but I definitely didn't have like stability and like a family dinner or any of that stuff.
Is your mom consistent? Is her behavior consistent?
In what way?
Just like, can you predict what she's going to say and whether she's going to be on time?
She's never on time. She's at least an hour late.
Oh, that's not good. Inconsistency in parenting, that's not good.
And she was just like wasn't there. Oh, the other thing is she like wasn't there when I was in high school.
What do you mean?
She literally physically wasn't there. She was my grandparents were sick and she was just taking care of them. Mm. So she would just like leave me money to order pizza every night, and I would just be alone. And my stepdad was living there, and he would just go out drinking, and I'd just be alone all the time.
That's not good. That's not good.
Oh,
that's
God,
not good. That's bad. That's really bad. Your mom sounds like a masochist too. Like
she's
a lot,
just
filled with self hatred.
She is a masochist.
Well, she's the one who should be here. Jesus, that's who should
be
here.
She'd love to be here.
I think you could help. You could help her. You could help her. So you're feeling so like there's a lot of you feel unsettled because you have money. Like you seem like your financial situation must be stable. No.
Yeah, financially I'm okay.
So that's a big deal. No.
Yeah.
Better than all those other comedians.
I mean, I'm a little stressed about it, but I'm like I have some like I need to pay my taxes, but I can work that out.
Yeah, like you can, you have a way to make money, and like, yeah, that's pretty awesome. And you made that happen from scratch, and that's pretty awesome. What's the turmoil with comedy? Like, how are you feeling about your comedy career, or whatever you call it? Like, how are you feeling about that right now? Like, what's stressful about that in particular? Everybody goes through
it. I just feel like it sucks.
Why?
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing fine. Like, people ask me to do shows, and like, it feels like it's like consistently growing, but I still just feel like, I just walk out there and it's like, I feel like there's all these like people, I feel like there's like an in crowd in comedy, you know?
Oh yeah, of course there is.
Yeah, there's like an in crowd.
Totally.
And I'm like,
you're not in it.
I'm like, but it's like,
I'm surprised. You look like you could be, you seem like you could be in it, but well, what?
I feel like I should be in it, right? I'm cool, right?
You're
cool. I should
be in the in crowd. Yeah, you're good.
No, but I'm totally not in the in crowd, but they're cool. I mean, I'm cool. It's like, it's weird. I'm on the outskirts of the in crowd. How about that?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Who's the in crowd? Is it the alt comedies people? Like
the alt comedy people.
Like the Joe Firestones and those people.
Joe's so successful and like nice and good. Welcoming. She's above it all.
She is, because she's really, she's just amazing. She's just so welcome. Joe she's Firestone the most is. Inclusive person on the planet.
Joe Firestone
but
is
those, but
awesome.
that group.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know,
like,
that group.
I'm almost a little, I hope they're probably not listening.
No, probably not. No, they wouldn't be bothered.
They don't give a fuck what I think.
No, no.
But yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you've had some of them on your show.
I have.
But I like them. And I don't know.
I know what you mean. Like, they all get booked together. Lorelei, right? Part of that?
I don't want to name names.
Okay.
But yeah, they do all book each other together.
Yeah.
They do all book each other.
But you got booked on that Sean Patrick Carney show.
Yeah. Sean's cool. Sean and I are tight.
Oh, I like him a lot. Yeah. He was on a show I did, Focus Group Live.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was on the panel, yeah.
No, Sean's great.
Sean's great. But it is kind of like, but don't you think?
And I'm older than them. It's so awkward.
Well.
It's so awkward trying to get in with like kids who are like 5 years younger than you. And you're just like,
But you, see, here's the thing. And I'm not saying everybody doesn't do this, but you are evaluating yourself next to them. And no one, like, really cares about, like, in the world of comedy, in your career of comedy, this is a blip.
Yeah, no one really cares, right?
That's a blip.
It is.
So, but I can understand that.
I do improv, too, and I just don't feel part of, like, the group of people that do that, either. I just feel so on the outskirts. I just feel like I'm at it alone all the time. I guess, stand-up is kind of like that. But, like, stand-ups have, like, a camaraderie.
Yeah.
And, like, I go to the open mics and stuff, and, like, I don't really have stand-up friends either. I just feel like everywhere I go in comedy, I'm, like, the outsider, and it's just really taxing.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So what do you think that's about? Is it about – because let's just take the fact that, like, you're a cool guy and you're talented. So, like, besides that, do you think it's, like, your schedule that you're not – is there another reason? Or
it's not my schedule. Like, I'm around.
So what is it? They just all know each other. It's just one of those things. It's like high school, right?
It is like high school.
But do you have other friends in comedy or people that you can? I mean,
I do have friends in comedy.
Don't you have your friends? I was always one of the people in the back of the room going, "Oh, those guys."
I totally have my friends.
I definitely
have my friends. I'm not totally alone. But there's a lot of time. There's some context where I have like my friends, but there's a lot of contexts I'm in where I'm just like, oh my god, I'm just here fucking alone, and like,
yeah,
why am I even
yeah,
doing
they don't want me here. Do you feel like that? I feel like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, oh, they don't want me here. Yeah, some of that I'm sure coming. You know, some of that I'm sure is coming from you.
I'm sure.
Yeah, some of it's definitely coming from you.
I try so hard. I'm so social. I'm like, hey, how's it going? How's your weekend? How are you doing? Like, what's new? Like, I really try with a lot of people.
You know, and a lot of that stuff, honestly, I think just takes time. Like, have they known each other longer?
It depends. Like, with the, like, comedy crowd, they definitely know each other longer. I have, like, with the with some other people that's like they're all kind of new and they've like kind of attached to each other, and I'm like, why am I the outsider in this weird group of people that I don't know.
I mean, you know, I would bet money that you feel much more like an outsider than you really are. Then I bet you they all feel the same way. A lot of them. I'll bet you this whole studio.
All right.
That I don't own.
All right, I'll trust you on that.
No, but you know what? Here's a really good way to make friends and find that out. Here's a suggestion. So I don't know how you are, but if I was there as an adult that I am now and have more perspective, I would probably go over to one of those other kids and I'd say, you know, I always feel like I'm not cool enough to be here. And then they would go, yeah, me too. And you would be surprised how everybody feels that way.
Oh, God, that's so frightening.
But you have to have the balls to be able to, like, go over and like, say that and make fun of somebody or make fun of the situation and just lighten it up. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if you can own that, own it.
All right.
Okay? Because, like, who are they? Who are they? No one – you know what? I mean, Jo Firestone is my total hero. Like, she's my – what do they call it? My spirit god. But I will tell you that there is no one outside of, you know, this square block that has ever heard of her. I mean,
I feel like it's changed. She's like on like – I saw her. She's like
– she's a writer on
Show.
Yeah, but no one even knows who he is, sadly. I mean, not he's more. Getting, he's getting visibility.
But also she was on like a 30 under 30 list. Show Firestone's going to like blow up.
She's definitely going to blow up. But
and she's like getting a lot of like small parts and stuff.
She's definitely going to blow up. Like it's going to happen for her for sure.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like we all have to keep perspective.
That's true.
Because she's like the top of the list or whatever, the top of the heap in the world that you're talking about. And like no one even
successful.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you know, we all have this, all of us creative people, we always, especially the ones that have ambition like you do, like we're always trying to get better and do more and, you know, just be better and move ahead and get more likes on Facebook. I mean, but get more.
It's all about the likes.
Get more. It's getting audience. It's appealing to people. You know, getting in their heads and getting to connect with them. We all want that, or we all try to do that. That's part of it.
I want to get in everyone's head.
And yeah, well. So anyway, but you know, so. But, I mean, we all do that, but, like, we're really all better off. This is when I get like that. But, I mean, about everything in art, you know, I'm very involved in making visual art, too, and all that crap. That's a brutal.
I've seen some of that stuff.
You have?
Good stuff.
Oh, thanks. But, I mean, that's a whole other. I'm not in. You know, brutal. I feel the same way. I mean, I feel like there's a clique that I'm not in and all the shit.
I dipped my toe in that, and I just was like, I don't. Really, I don't understand how to make art. I can't do this.
Yeah, no. So I don't think I do either. But
I just want to make jokes.
Yeah. No. Good. That's focus. Focus on one thing the most you can. But
art's
but,
complex. Jokes just like, oh, they laughed. I succeeded.
No, but also, I mean, if you're good at that, that's a great thing to be good at. But I just think like if you can focus on your own work, like that's what we all have to. That's what we have to tell ourselves. Focus. Like, how's your comedy writing go? Like where is that? That's where you got to focus on your comedy writing and developing.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good point.
That's the most important thing to you right now.
It is.
The most important thing.
It is.
So if you can focus on that as your beacon, everything will, you know, things will fall into place. You know,
I'm actually going to be psychologically and spiritually better after this conversation.
Really? That's so awesome.
I think so. I hope so.
You're helping me.
If I'm going to feel like you've set me up to, so if I don't, then it's like, oh,
no,
man,
see?
Like
you're getting down on yourself. No, no, no.
That's my thing, being down on myself.
Well, you know, that's a real indulgence there.
It is.
Get over yourself.
All right.
Get over yourself.
What's going to be my thing then?
Just you know what? Just work on your writing. Just every time you get nervous that you're not this or you're not that or this isn't going well or whatever, just Focus on your writing. Focus on your writing. Just, you know, you can be alone in your room. You don't have to go anywhere to write. Like, you don't have to have a gig to write.
That's true. You don't.
So just, like, do that, and then everything else, if you can just put that as your priority. You know what I always say to people, and this is how I see my life, how I've learned to after being so old, is that my art is my children, and that's the most important thing in my life. So when I think about it that way, everything else falls into place. Like, I love my husband. I think he's great. I'm lucky to have him in my life. But to tell you the truth, in a certain way, I mean, the way a child would be, my art is the same way, like, as far as him as a priority. I mean, we both treat each other that way in a certain way. Like, he has an actual child who's also a priority for me. But it's kind of like I have had my art career or artwork or art practice, ever since I was 3 and a half. And I had a really hard life, I think, with difficult parents. And that is the one thing that has kept me stable and kept me on track to, like, not, you know, what, that's the only thing that's ever really kept me together. And so I can't lose focus on that. And those are my children. So, and I have the integrity about my art projects, just like I do with my children. Like, if they were my children, I have no children.
Oh my God.
I didn't want any children. So, but like, I'm always like, well, you know, I'm embarrassed to ask to be in the show, but, you know, this would be great for my kids. This would be great for my project. So I have to stand up for them.
Why are you embarrassed to be asked in a show? That's great.
No, to ask to be in a show.
Oh, to ask to be. No, I'm totally embarrassed to ask.
You know, or something like, I want to, or like, if somebody says, like, well, we'll buy this from you for X amount of dollars. And I think, well, is it worth selling? Is that a good thing for my children to get? You know what I mean? Like, it does really help. Define things when you can sort of look at it a little more objectively. So anyway, you know, I think if we can, I think, you know, the thing that I'm excited about is, look, I want to hear back about how your relationship, we have 4 minutes left.
Oh my God.
So your relationship with your mom, I think, is going to, you know, if you can change that dynamic, I think that'll like change your perspective, and I think it'll be helpful. Change your perspective in your own place in the world. A little bit.
All right, I'm going to try to do that.
So, but I want to talk about you. I want to talk about where people should come and see you.
Oh, yeah, totally. So you should come see me on May 25th, which is like, I don't know, like 10, is it 10 days from now? Something like that.
Today's the 12th.
It's going to be a good show. It's at Adelina's. It's called Catch a Writhing Star.
Oh, that sounds really funny.
It's a good pun.
And where is that place?
It's in Greenpoint. Adelina's in Greenpoint
on May 25th.
And I think I'm going to have a show at the Annoyance Theater.
I love that place.
I love it, too.
What are you going to do there?
It's a themed show. It should be June 15th, although we're still kind of finalizing the date. It's a themed show about the iPhone game Neko Atsume. It's a game where you collect cats. You just put out food and toys,
cool.
And cats come and play with them. It's like you don't do anything. You just put stuff.
So
out.
Now you're doing that with a group of people, right?
Yeah.
So there's your people.
I have people.
You have people. Yeah.
Have
you got to own that.
I know I have people. Yeah. You have to float in so many circles.
I know.
And see so many people. And
I know.
It's like,
hard.
I know where my people are, but I have to go to places where my people aren't there, and that's when I feel alone. You can't always be with your people, because then you're just like.
Your people, you just aren't happy when, or it's just not, it's harder. Well, of course, it's harder. Of course, it's going to be harder. That's where the growth is.
I love being around my people. They're cool as fuck.
Oh, so you have your people. Well, then what are we worrying about that for? You can't have your people there all the time.
Yeah, that's true. There's some people that feel like they're just cool with everybody, though.
Well, that project that.
Yeah,
that's bullshit. You're buying into, you're enabling those people to feel cool about themselves. Fuck it.
All right, I'm gonna start.
Wait. So Twitter, where you want people to? You don't really. Is that where people should find you?
That's
on Twitter?
Where people should find me on Twitter.
And you have a weird name on Twitter.
Poor Little Richie.
Poor Little Richie.
Poor Lil.
Poor Lil Richie.
Like
that's
poor
sort
little
of
rich
telling,
girl.
Isn't it?
I just wanted a nice. I just wanted it to be like a cultural reference, because like poor little rich girl is like a thing. It's like an Andy Warhol thing or something. Where's that from?
I get it. Oh,
but yeah, I was like,
isn't that from Vanderbilt? Gloria Vanderbilt.
Oh yeah. All
right, we're gonna get like 30 seconds. So I'm trying to end. So anyway, I see. This was so great today. I really enjoyed my time with you.
I really enjoyed it. I felt like it
was really, really productive, and I'm like super happy that you came on the show. And I want everybody to go to that hoedown, that Bayou hoedown this weekend at Brooklyn, Bayou and Brooklyn Music Festival.
Yeah, hoedown.
Okay? I'm calling it a hoedown because that's what it seems like it's going to be to me. But
how many
I don't know
times do you get a hoedown in Brooklyn? Not that often.
Yeah, the Bayou. When do you ever hear?